Lord. Can I testify this morning? It is so good to be back in God's house. It is so good to see all you smiling faces. And for the ones that aren't smiling, I still love you too. But anyway, God is good. God is good. He has brought us through a terrible struggle, these few months that we've been married. But God is real. Amen. He's brought us through. He's still alive. Yes. Hallelujah. And I want to give him all the praise and all the glory for everything that he's done. Amen. Y'all pray for us. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
Yes, he is good all the time. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. What a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I know there's a lot of prayer requests and a lot of needs, but I know for a fact that my Lord is still on the throne. God is still in control. We've got those that are recovering. We've got those that are going through all different situations. As we were praying in Sunday school this morning, we've got some that are going through a procedure tomorrow and later this week. So if you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, dear Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, we thank you for loving us. And dear Lord, even during those times that we're not lovable, dear Lord, but we just want to lift you up. We want to honor you. We want to praise you, dear Lord. May we be thankful for each and every moment that you give each and every one of us. Dear Lord, we love you. And dear Lord, as we open up this service now, dear Lord, may we just turn all of our attention on you. Dear Lord, may we just be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, ready to receive your word, dear Lord, ready to feel your holy presence, but most of all, dear Lord, ready for you to minister to us. And dear Lord, we ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. Lord, each and every, dear Lord, service going from here, dear Lord, each and every ministry that goes out from this church, dear Lord, we ask you to keep. Lord, a special prayer request, dear Lord, for our children's church as they prepare for their day of celebration, dear Lord, that you get all the honor and glory. Again, dear Lord, you see each and every hand that was raised. You know the depths of our hearts. Lord, we're asking you to heal, to mend, to protect. Dear Lord, just to continue to keep those that are sick and shut in. But, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, and we're placing each and every prayer request into your mighty hands. And the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Why are you? Yes, ma'am. All righty. Go right ahead. Yes, he gets all the glory. Amen. Praise God. So glad to have you with us. Praise the Lord. As we prepare, let's go ahead, and if you would, just turn to page 177. This is heavy on my heart this morning. Got a question for each and every one of you. Are you washed in the blood? Let's all sing and worship the Lord this morning. be seated if you can. Praise God. As we were singing that, we think about that lamb, that precious lamb, which is Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. And this season we talk much about the child that's born. It is prophesied through the Old Testaments into the life-giving lamb that God has given each and every one of us. And we just love Him, just love His thoughts and everything about it. Let's be in much prayer during this season that people will recognize that it's the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, all the way through to that precious blood that He shed for you and I, that we can sing songs like that and just glorify God and know for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, who our Lord and Savior is. Amen, amen, amen. I'll quit preaching. Come on. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Got one big announcement, or see what else they got up here. I know the children's church, we want to, as I said earlier, going on their Christmas party today, this right after service this morning. And I haven't got any more updates on that, but I know it's good to go. I saw some happy kids coming in. They're excited this morning going over there. But also want to remind you that on December 12th, which is next Sunday, the evening service, we're going to have a multi-church service. Really exciting time. It's going to be with praise and worship, and we're going to be worshiping the Lord, and there'll be a message that's brought forth. But us joining together as one mind and one accord is what we want to be in prayer for. But also there'll be a love offering taken up that evening. And it's going to go to Shop with a Cop. There are a lot of kids in our local neighborhood, in our local area, that would love to know that there are those that love them. And we're going to do it with prayer that anything going out will be done, show the love of God on each and every one of these kids. So make plans to join us. Invite someone. We'd love to have a packed house that night and just represent First Pentecostal as well as y'all always do.
Brother Jim?
I hear a voice.
Yes, back here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't forget our caroling next Saturday.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Jim can tell you.
Exact. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, next Saturday morning, the layout. We'll be meeting at 9:30 at Ashbrook in the parking lot to gather up as a group to go inside. You can only go in as a group with your mask on, but once we get in there, we can take the mask off. We'll be entertaining for approximately about an hour to all the seniors in there, so we need as many people as possible to show up for this. It brings a lot of joy to these folks. So, you know, again, take an hour or two out of your time Saturday morning, and let's bring some joy to these shut-ins, all right?
Absolutely.
Saturday morning.
Thank you for reminding us.
Also, the ladies, Ida Bell and Amazing Grace, are having their Christmas banquet next Sunday after church at the Red Lobster. We will be doing a white Santa, so please bring a nice gift, either wrapped or in a bag, at least $10, and we'll meet up there at 1 o'clock. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord. God, I love our church. I love all the exciting things going on. It sounds like next weekend is going to be a busy weekend, but let's remember all the different things, a wonderful time.
Brother Jim, sorry.
Okay, no, go ahead. I was asked about that in Sunday school this morning, a reminder about practice.
Practicing puppets today. Puppet practice today at 4:30. Otherwise, we'll wait for the rest until next week for everybody to practice.
You set a time for next week. I was asked that question.
Well, that's a good question.
That's pending. We'll just be ready.
How about maybe 4?
Sunday? Okay.
Maybe 4.
Sounds good.
Sounds
thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now we're just going to just let the Lord just minister to us. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
like other babies. As a young boy, I imagine he shared his hopes and dreams. But as he grew older, he began to understand he was the Son of God, an uncommon man. He walked on the earth, but unlike you and me, he walked on water too, set captives free. Of his hand he can heal broken hearts.
My vocabulary would not allow me to adequately explain and exclaim how great our God is. He's so great he holds this whole world in his hands. Yet small enough he can live right here in the heart of a man. What a mighty God that we serve. Give him praise this morning. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Whether you feel like it or not, give him praise. Amen. Whether it's good with you or bad with you, give him praise anyway. The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. I hope and pray that my dying breath on this earth will be praising God for his goodness, for his mercy. Whatever condition I may be in, regardless of that fact, I know that where I'm going. Amen. And if you know where you're headed this morning, I said, if you know where you're going, if you know you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you know that all is well in your heart, there is not a thing in this world that should get us down. Amen. Because of the promise that we have made possible by Jesus Christ. My, how good it is to know that we have Jesus in our heart and our life. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He is deserving. He's worthy. He is a great and magnificent God. If you have your Bibles this morning. Yes, sir. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. My. Praise God. Well, glory. Another testimony of healing. Amen. Glory to God. God has done another miracle. Amen. I tell you what, God is still performing miracles to those who put their faith and trust in an almighty God. Amen. How good that is to know. You know, that ought to put another mark on somewhere on our Bible or somewhere we're keeping up with the miracles of God. You know what? I can't even keep up with them. Amen. He does so much, I can't even remember all that he's done, but I want to praise him and thank him for each and everything that God has done. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with me to the 137th Psalm, Psalms 137. Praise God. The writer says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Can we pray? Father of all miracles, the very giver of life, we come to praise you this morning. We come to thank you. We come to honor and adore you. God, not just during this season, but especially in this season. For all of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, and your abounding love. For those who have gathered here this morning, Father, I pray that you would just open up the window of heaven, pour out an anointing upon us. God, let your spirit flow down. Fill us up, Lord, with your mercy and your grace. Fill us up with that Holy Spirit. Father, I ask you humbly this morning to anoint these lips of clay, God, to speak through this vessel this morning, that you would have us to hear, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will, and we'll forever give you praise and honor and glory. And we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to someone, brother or sister, tell them you love them, and you may be seated. Amen. How good that is to hear, amen, that we love one another. If you've got God, you've got love, amen. Because God is love. This morning, weighing heavily upon my heart is this message. I would entitle it Singing in a Strange Land. I hope by the end of the message we can maybe get a clearer view of what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Many years ago, in fact, I don't quite remember how many it was, but God stirred my heart with this psalm. I don't remember if I was going through a particular trial or things were maybe unpleasant at the time, but I do know that I needed to hear this and I needed to search it out and listen to the voice of God. I mean, you know, sometimes you think our prayer life is unloading unto God, and most of the time it is, but I will assure you, if you'll use some of your prayer time just to listen to God, just to hear His voice, the voice that He gives us is so comforting, amen, and so reassuring. But I could not recall the exact time or situation of this particular scripture. But the Lord brought it to my attention again this week as I began to seek God and pray for Him to give me a word. This is where He took me. I want to go back just a little bit and maybe lay some groundwork as to where this particular situation takes place. Again, the Jewish people had backslidden against God. They had ignored His statutes and His precepts. And again, found themselves in an unpleasant situation. It is amazing that history alone in the Bible teaches us time and time again, if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, put our faith and trust in Him, He will never leave us nor forsake us. But the moment that we begin to turn to our own desires, our own ways, and forget His judgments and forget His statutes and even many times forget His blessings and miracles, then we find ourselves in an unpleasant situation, or let me refer to it as a strange land, a place that we don't like to visit in our spirit, a place that we don't like to be involved in our everyday life. We want things to be pleasant. That's just natural. We want things to be accommodating. That's just the way we are. We want things to be easy and convenient. But many times we find ourselves in the exact opposite, and it's strange to us, especially if we have been enjoying the blessings of God for a number of years. But the children of Israel had reverted to their old ways. God allowed the enemy to prevail against them. This specific enemy was the Babylonian Empire. The army of Babylon had come in and devastated Jerusalem, had torn the city apart, had destroyed the temple, and actually killed and murdered a lot of the Jewish people, ravished their wives and daughters, and taken a good number of them captive back to Babylon. And many scholars, some would agree and some would disagree about the particular timing of this writing. Some thought that maybe somewhere someone wrote these phrases down or this psalm down while they were in captivity. And it's quite possible that that's the case. Others thought that it might have been after that they returned to Jerusalem. Amen. After they had repented and after God had brought them back into His promise. Whatever the case was, I want you to understand, it was an unpleasant time for the children of Israel. It was something that was strange to them. The Bible here says they kept, or they sat by the great rivers of Babylon. History and geographic areas tell us there were not any great rivers like this in the land of Israel where Jerusalem was located. So many people think that this was probably the Tigris and Euphrates River, but it was a place where they sat down after a long, long journey. Let me tell you, we were traveling not long ago, and we went out to a campsite there in Alabama, and we go through Cedartown, and from Cedartown we go down Cave Springs. And there's signs all along the road that says Trail of Tears. Many of you may be familiar with that particular sign. That was where the Cherokee Indian Nation was transported all the way to the Oklahoma Territory, not by train, not by plane, but they walked. Many of them died and lost their lives on the Trail of Tears, and it's still referred to today as the Trail of Tears. Well, the Babylonian army had come in and taken captive of the children of Israel and marched them back to the Babylonian Empire, and now they were sitting by the great rivers, and they began to be very remorseful, naturally, because all that they were used to was destroyed. Their everyday life was totally and forever transformed into a bad situation. And in this company of captives were a group of singers. You remember in the building of the temple, there were different appointees for the temple. Some were to make music, some were to do this, the priests were to do that, and then there were singers that were appointed, and then usually came from certain family members. That was their requirement, that was their obligation to sing and praise in the temple unto God. Well, this group of singers, I don't know if it was one or two or three, whatever it was, began to write the condition that they were in. And whether it was because of wanting to embarrass them, wanted to make light of them, or just wanted to joke around with them, the Babylonian army said, "You sing unto us the songs of Zion." Now that intrigued me, because the enemy knew the songs of Zion. Brother Chris, whether he had heard or whether the enemy had heard them or just heard a reputation of them, but they knew there was something special about the songs of Zion. When the singers began to be as one voice, when they began to raise up the praise unto God, and God's ears were opened up and heard the praise of the church, heard the praise of the children of Israel, the enemy sets up and takes notice, and the enemy, for whatever reason, wanted to hear them sing the songs of Zion. But the singer said, "How can we sing the songs of praise? How can we sing the songs of victory? How can we exalt our Lord and Savior in the surroundings that we are embedded in right now? We're in a strange land. We're in a place we've never been before. We're at the mercy of the enemy. We don't even have a home to call our own anymore." And they said all that they could do was weep. The scripture says they wept. They wept openly because of the fall, amen, of their faith in God, because of everything that was near and dear to them had suddenly been snatched away from them. God began to remind me of situations today where people's lives have been totally and absolutely transformed. It's strange to them to walk into a doctor's office and have them, the doctor, tell you some very disturbing news. That's strange to our lifestyle. That's strange to our comfort zone. Amen. To turn on the news and hear of the perverse things that are happening in the world today, and seemingly people are acting without any regard to their conscience or to their heart, is strange to us in this land. Because this is not supposed to be taking place in the great nation of America that you and I live. Sometimes, even as Christians, we find ourselves in unpleasant surroundings. And it's very strange to us. Our spirit that is within us wants us to lift our hands and glorify and praise God. But the singer said, "How can we do this?" Maybe you and I would say it something like this: "How do you expect me to praise God going through the trial that I'm going through right now? How do you expect me to lift my voice and honor and glorify a God that seemingly is a million miles away from me and not really concerned about what I'm going through during this particular time in my life? It's very strange to me. I'm used to being blessed. I'm used to doing things my way. I'm used to feeling good. But now it seems like I am in a place where the walls are closing in all around me. And you want me to lift my hands? You want me to glorify God? You want me to praise Him? How can we sing in a strange land? They wept. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for sorrow. There's a time for remorse. How many of us know there's a time, too, that we can glorify and praise God through every adversity that we face? Hallelujah. They wept over the death of so many of our loved ones. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to view some of the horrific things that happened during the Holocaust, where families were snatched up from their everyday life, many of them separated, many of them beaten beyond recognition, placed in boxcars, sent to an awful place, the gas chambers. Many families were totally wiped out. Some only had one or two survivors. Children were taken away and separated from their families. And I thought about this. According to the writers, the captors were very cruel to them, making mockery of them. They couldn't sing. Guess they thought there was nothing to sing about. Where's their joy? So they wept. They wept that the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed, along with the great and beautiful temple that was erected and dedicated to God. They wept over the agony of the forced march. I would imagine that when they fell by the wayside, many of the captors would probably beat them or kick them to make them get up and walk again. The children of God, God's chosen people, going through a terrible time, a strange land. And they wept. They wept of the cruelty, the mockery of their captors. They wept when they remembered their past and how pleasant it was in Jerusalem during the good times. They wept because of their present location, even though it was by the rivers. There were trees hanging all around. It was an unpleasant and a strange land. They wept because of the uncertainty of their future. Let me tell you, I don't know what my future holds down here on this earth. But there's something that within me that causes me to still want to lift my hands and praise my God, because I am very certain about the future over yonder. Amen. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to face, but I have the promise I will not face it alone. I don't know what shape my body's going to be in, but I do know I'm going to trade it in for a brand new glorified body. I don't know how long I'm going to live down here, but I have the promise I'm going to live forever in a glorified state prepared by Jesus Christ Himself. That's what makes me praise Him. That's what makes me sing my song when I don't feel like singing. We weep over present conditions. We'll spend most of our life weeping. But if we praise because of God's promise, how many knows that He'll never leave us? And finally, and most importantly, they wept over their sin that invited judgment. You see, the children of Israel finally realized that it wasn't because God had left them. It was because they had left God. They had forgotten God. They didn't praise Him like they needed to. They didn't worship Him. They let strange idols creep into their worship. They let other things of the world exactly against the Word of God. Now they found themselves in a strange land. People today, a lot of times, will not admit what got them to their present situation. They'll play the blame game. It's easy to blame everyone and everything else. Many times, if we're completely honest with ourselves, we're the ones to blame. When we forget God and when we go on and everything else is more important than serving God and praising God, and if we have time, then we'll work it in somehow, some way. That's not the relationship that God wants or that I read in my Bible. He plainly lets us know that He wants to be first and foremost in our life. And in doing that, we've got to praise Him in the bad times as well as the good times. Amen. There should not be anything in this world that should keep us from praising God. If we're born again, if we're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and we have that promise, and we know our name is in the book. Hallelujah. Well, how many is thankful your name's in the book? Glory to God. Then there is not a situation that is present nor in the future that should ever keep us from glorifying and praising the Lord and singing our song of praise. Well, these same singers realized that this was probably not going to happen. We can't sing a song of praise in a captive state. You know, part of history tells us that when the captors came in and they invaded Jerusalem and they burned and pilfered and destroyed and took these captives back to Babylon, that they allowed these singers to bring their instruments. You can bring them with you. You couldn't take anything else. But I thought it was quite unique that they let the singers bring their instruments. But what did the singers do in bad times? Quit playing the guitar. Hung up the harps. Even the writers, they wrote with such poetry, and they described the willows. How many has ever knows the nickname of the willows? The weeping willows. They even saw sadness in the trees. Let me tell you something. When the devil and the enemy gets you into a state of mind, you're going to blame everybody and you're going to blame everybody, and nothing's going to look appealing to you in this life. You're going to see sadness and sorrow and despair in everything that you come in touch with. But let me tell you something. Those of you that'll take that heart back off of the willows, those of you that will reach back up and say, you know what? I'm taking my praise back. I'm taking my victory back. I'm taking my anointing back. I'm taking my calling back. Glory to God. I've been too far to turn back now. I'm too blessed to give up now. Glory to God. I started this race to finish. I started this race to win. Even though it's strange, I'm going to sing in a strange situation and in a strange land. But they hang their harps. Well, guess I'll need this anymore. But you know what? The enemy said, go ahead and sing. Go ahead and sing. Let me tell you something I have learned about singing. And I know it's probably good to the ears to be on tune and in tune. I've heard some people say I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. I don't know. I've never tried to sing in a bucket. Imagine the acoustics would be pretty good. I know one thing. If I had a shower here today, I could sing y'all a song. This acoustics in my shower are absolutely wonderful. I mean, it all sounds good to me. But I've learned something about singing. If you're only singing from the vocal cords out, it may sound really good to the ears and it may sound really beautiful. But to me, when somebody sings from the heart, when you can feel it, when somebody says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." There's something about it, singing from the heart. There's something about singing what you feel. There's something about when the singer sings, cold chills run up and down your spine, and you're sitting in the congregation, and that hand goes up, and you begin to glorify and praise God, because you're singing not to make somebody happy. You're singing to glorify God. Come on, church. We need to sing to praise the Lord. We need to lift up our voices. We need to come together in one mind, one accord, and glorify His name. I saw it a while ago. When we begin to sing about a mighty God, amen, hands begin to be raised. Tears begin to flow down cheeks. Don't ever, ever, ever lose your song. Regardless of the condition you're in, regardless of the situation that surrounds you, regardless of the trouble or the burden that is so heavy, sometimes seemingly impossible to carry, never forget your song. Because I want to tell you something. There's just something about the Holy Ghost. I tell you, there's just something about the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. If it'd make a 69-year-old man feel like he's 16 again, there's something about the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's better than a B-12 shot. I like to feel the power of God like I feel it right now. It's on the top of my head, all the way to the sole of my feet. I can't help but praise Him. I got to get my heart back. I got to get my song back. I got to get my praise on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I want to alert you. You're in a house of praise. It ain't strange in this house to praise God. I've seen some things take place in this church that the world would declare strange, but to God it ain't. I've seen some running. I've seen some moving. I've heard some shouting. I've seen folks slain in the spirit. I've seen folks dance that didn't have a bit of rhythm in their life. But the Holy Ghost took over, and they did the hallelujah two-step to the best I've ever seen it. There's just something about the Holy Ghost. There's just something about the power of God. And it should be easy to praise God in this surrounding. But they wasn't at Jerusalem. They wasn't in the temple. It was in a strange place. Even the willow trees was weeping. And the enemy got right in their face. Where's your song now? Come on, child of God. You ain't in the church right now. You ain't singing in the choir right now. I got you right where I want you. Ooh, glory to God. I want to tell you something. If you can jerk that harp off the tree and begin to pluck that thing and sing a song in the face of the enemy, right when he's staring at you, daring you to sing, sing me a song of Zion. Well, I'm glad you asked me, Satan, because I'm going to sing it right in your face. I'm going to sing it right in the face of adversity. I'm going to sing it in the biggest trial and the biggest temptation I've ever been in my life. Glory to God. There's nothing that's going to keep me from giving praise to my God. See, the enemy was mocking them. You can only sing when you feel good. You can only sing when you're in church. Y'all remember Sister Irma? You remember how she'd do that? Praise God. Why, she's in heaven doing it all the time, man. Glory. Visit her in the hospital. And her arms were just black and blue. Because she had these rolling veins, I think they call them. Very difficult for the person to come in and draw blood. You got rolling veins. Little veins shrink up and go, no, you ain't sticking no needle in me. And they'll pull it out and poke again. And while I was there, the technician come in and, Miss Irma, we need to take some blood. And she said, Jesus. And she looked at her arms and she said, Brother Eddie, let's pray. We began to pray. Them little arms, black and blue, they went up and said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let them find that blood right quick. Jesus, Lord, in the name of Jesus, right? You know what? She wasn't in church. She didn't have the anointing oil there, but the Lord, but God was right there in the hospital room with her, you know. And you know what? It even got a hold of the technician, bless her heart. She began to pray too. She said, well, I'm going to pray if y'all praying too. And we just had a Holy Ghost time right there in the hospital. And you can believe it or not, but the very first time she stuck the needle in, the blood began to flow. Ah, hallelujah! Glory to God! That's what my God will do. When you sing praise in the face of adversity, He will show up. He will be there. Somebody needs to hear that. Somebody needs to praise Him. Hallelujah. Well, she didn't stop there. She just, they couldn't sing for crying. Come on. Couldn't sing for crying. What have I got to sing about, Brother Eddie? You don't know my heavy load. I may not. I may not be able to help you. But I can point you to one who can. Amen. And He's not a situational God. He's there all the time. I know that there's been songs that allude to that fact. In my darkest hour of despair, I looked. No one seemed to care. Then there was Jesus. I walked down a lonely hall and sat in a little lounge in a straight back chair waiting with the diagnosis of a doctor of my son. And there wasn't another soul in that hall or in that lounge. But there was Jesus. There was Jesus. I stood at the gravesite over my next door neighbor, my little babysitter when Kevin was small, my granddaddy, my pastor, my woodcutting buddy. Pastor this church. I thought, Lord, what are we going to do now? But looked over there, and there was Jesus. He was there, my grandparents' grave. He was there when Daddy took his last breath. Certainly those are strange conditions, strange situations to think about praising God in the face of sadness and sorrow and even despair. But you're not praising God for the circumstances. You're praising God that He'll take you through the circumstances. And for that reason and that reason alone, there's always a reason to praise God. Hallelujah. Bad times should never affect our spirit of praise. If you don't remember anything else that I've said today, make a notation of that. Bad things should never, ever, in any circumstance, affect our praise. In fact, if anything, our praise ought to be stronger in bad times. And like I said earlier, if you can praise God and sing a song in the face of the enemy, you ain't got no problem here in church. Amen. Because this is an environment of praise. Psalms 96, I want to take you there before I close this morning. Before I take you there, there is a book in the Bible called Ezra. And Ezra speaks of the returning captives to Jerusalem. And it gives almost a census, if you would, of names and families that returned to the city of Jerusalem after the captivity of the Babylonian army. And I thought about this. If, in fact, the singers could have remembered the promise rather than the condition, they would have been able to sing. Because the singers knew the scriptures. The singers knew the Mosaic writings. And they knew that God had promised Abraham's seed to be a great nation. And he would never go back on his promise. They probably couldn't see that because of the captivity that they were in. But if you're ever facing an enemy or a situation that all you can see is the badness, remember the promise. And when you remember the promise, you will have praise. In Ezra, he tells us, I believe I'm correct in this number, if not, I'm close, 122 singers returned to Jerusalem. Now, I imagine they were singing sure enough then. But if we can only sing in the bad times, we'll be able to sing in the good times. The psalmist in the 96th psalm says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Kind of think God's a little tired of some of these same old songs. And I'm not talking about the hymnals. I'm talking about our moaning, groaning songs. "Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." Regardless, when that day-to-day stuck at my neck, regardless of what I'm facing, Lord, the Lord still wants me to sing unto Him praise. Good times, bad days, good days. "Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great." Can I get a witness? "The Lord is great and greatly to be praised." That falls on us. "He is to be feared above all gods." Look at verse 11 and 12 in closing. "Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice." I thought how symbolic that was as the singers talked about the willows and the branches hanging down. But yet in this psalm said even the trees praise Him and glorify Him. And you know what? The trees face a lot of storms. But when the sun comes out, they begin to glorify and praise him. Brother Eddie, what are you talking about singing in a strange land? I'm talking about praising God in spite of what you're going through. Really, there's no reason not to praise him. Amen. God bless you. You're a wonderful people. Never forget that God loves you. Never forget that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for you. And never forget the promise that he has given us. Would you stand to your feet? Please reverence the spirit and the anointing that is in this place this morning. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we give you an invitation to this altar. The burden seems too heavy. The problem seems too severe. If all you can see is sadness and gloominess, and you've sort of hung your praise on a tree somewhere, and you're ready now to take it back, then we invite you to come down to this altar. Whether you're born again, saved, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, we all face problems. We all face trials. If you need prayer this morning, this is your opportunity. Is there one that would come? Please, nobody looking around. If you just lift your hand and let his pastor know, God bless those hands. Not only do I see them, but God sees them. And I'm going to be praying this week that God will bless you. We love you. Appreciate you. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you tonight. Brother Jim, would you come?
Praise God. Praise his holy name. And even in our Sunday school class this morning, this message was intended for, I know, for the conversations we had, that God is great in all things. This altar is still open if there's anyone that feels that it's too dark or too hard or too deep for you to crawl out of. We're just going to praise God in every situation and place it into his mighty hands. Right. Well, I know we've already asked God to touch all the prayer requests that we had, but as we get ready to close, I know there are other people. I know there's a brother in our Sunday school class going through a procedure tomorrow. I know there are those that are getting diagnoses, those waiting on tests. It's those that are praying for their families with their situations. But I'm going to ask each and every one of you, and remember, I know you are a praying church, but we're going to sing that song of joy and know God's got it when we give it to him wholeheartedly. Don't carry it home with you. Yes, Miss Linda? The 10th? We'll definitely remember her. Yes, thank you. Thank you. She did mention it at the testimony service the other night, but I'd forgotten the date. Thank you so much. And again, there's so many needs, but we know that God's got it. Agree? Amen. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed, but let's continue to pray. Let's continue to let the Lord minister to us. And during this wonderful, wonderful season, I'm going to ask each and every one of you not only to be safe and careful, but don't forget the true reason. And we just praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house this morning. Lord, thank you for the message you've given us. Dear Lord, we thank you for your written word, dear Lord, for your spiritual truth. And, dear Lord, now we ask you just to bless each and every one. Dear Lord, you've seen those prayer requests. You know the needs. Dear Lord, as we prepare to step forward, dear Lord, may we go with joy and our faith in you, and, dear Lord, that through you, all things are possible, Lord, that we just love and praise you, dear Lord. We ask you now just to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. All the ministries going forth right now, as we prepare for the Christmas presentation, for the multi-ministry service we have coming up next week, for all the other activities. Lord, be with our children today as they go for their Christmas party. But, dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, we just want to thank you. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen, amen. Praise God.